from the fullest studio and desk in WDRT. This is View from the Bleachers. I am Eric.
I'm Aaron.
And we are joined by the crew. Hello, crew. Yeah, that's good stuff. How was the week?
It's been a week.
It's full. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. It's been 7 full days consecutively. Did you mow yet?
Yes, I did.
Yeah,
that
boy.
I was off yesterday, so I mowed. Which for me, I take the mower deck off my riding lawnmower,
sure.
Clean it up, and
get
it stored away. And
see, I should have done that.
I had to put it back together yesterday. That took me.
Did you have all the parts?
Close.
Right.
I'm missing one. It's not really important.
No. You'll find out. I gassed up the mower. Got myself in position to start the mowing. We'll probably do that this weekend. I'm into it, man. Gardening's good.
See, I got to work Saturday.
Me too. My Sunday mow day.
Yeah, I got family coming over Sunday.
Yeah.
Mother's Day.
Oh, it is too. We'll celebrate that.
Happy Mother's Day.
We will be celebrating that. We will be doing something very good for that. Yeah.
Smoking brisket.
Ooh, good call. You did that last year.
Yeah, I know.
That's a Mother's Day tradition like none other.
Well, it's also my boy's birthday, so.
Family tradition.
Yeah, may as well do it.
Look at you. Checking the boxes. What a good guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're good people. Sports.
Is there?
That's kind of funny because we do hit these spots where without football and without a basketball team to really, really root for.
Right.
There isn't a ton of sports. Brewers, of course, because it's a 162-game season. Brewers are always – they play about somewhere between 5 and 7 games a week. They played 7 since the last time we talked.
Okay.
They were not good. Once again, we're on a pretty solid streak. If we were, they started out the first couple weeks 1-0. They were 2-5 last week.
Yep.
They lost 2 of 3 to the San Francisco Giants, and they lost 2 of 3 to the Dodgers. So they did not have a good week at all. So it's hard to get really excited to talk about they've been about 3 weeks now of playing subpar.
Yeah.
And it shows because their record is now 20-17. We were at a certain point where they were 10 games, 13 games over 500, and everyone was healthy. They have now reached a spot in, 37 out of 162 games. We're, not at the quarter pole, but we're rounding in. There's still a lot of hurt. There's still a lot of guys injured.
Yep.
And the guys that were playing pretty well to start the year, I've leveled off. Christian Yelich, I'll just start with Christian Yelich because he's the highest paid Brewer. He's their best player by leaps and bounds. He's the one if he was good, so go the Brewers. He's batting .239, force home runs, 16 RBIs, and he's far and away their highest paid player. So it kind of goes to show you teams without a lot of money, they got to hit and hit. They got to hit on these free agents and these trades. They traded for Christian Yelich. He was an MVP. And he has gotten hurt and not been good since. 239 is actually a 30-point improvement on his batting average last year. He was maybe one of the worst offensive players in baseball last year, and now he's just extremely below average. 239 doesn't sound like much. Hitters aren't hitting 300 like they used to, so 239 is okay.
Right.
But, nothing special from what he should be. He's in the prime of his career. When they signed him to this big deal, this was when he's supposed to be carrying a team. And if he's carrying them, he's carrying them with him to a 20-17 record. Second in their division, because the entire Central Division has been terrible at the same time. The Pirates are still ahead by one game, and everybody else is below 500 by a ton in the Central. The
Cubs are right behind at 18-19.
18-19.
Reds are 16-21, and then the Cardinals. Which
Cardinals lost 10 games in a row.
13-25. I'm just not used to seeing that as a Cardinal team.
Nope. They have not been bad. They're one of those, they haven't been bad my whole life.
Right.
Going back to, the Tony La Russa, Mark McGwire days,
yep.
Running right through the Albert Pujols era, No, St. Louis has always kind of been like Green Bay, just consistently
irritatingly
good for no reason other than they have a couple of good stars. They have the stars, they're just bad. So I get excited about the Cardinals being bad like I get excited about being the Vikings being bad, though. I never liked the Cardinals. I never liked McGuire. I never liked Tony La Russa. Didn't dig any of that, so I root for them to be bad all the time, and they are. But the Brewers are also very, very average.
Yeah.
They won last year by defense and pitching.
Okay.
They are still, that's why they're 20-17, is because they have really, really good pitching and are playing consistent defense. Guys like Willy Adames, he was an all-star last year. He's hitting .230. That is not good. Seven home runs is okay, but hitting .230 is nothing to be.
We're about a quarter of the way through the season right now, maybe-ish?
You know, give or take.
Yeah.
Yes. So, you know, he's still hitting for power, but a .230 hitter. He was their best hitter last year, hit right around .250. Guys who were really on fire to start the year, Brian Anderson and Rudy Tellez, are both hitting right around .240. Also, if you're noticing a theme with the Brewers, it's hitting right around .240 and being average. That is pretty much where we're at. Joey Weimer and Bryce Terang were the two rookies that early in the year were just, they were fun to watch. It's fun to get excited about young players. Joey Weimer is still catching everything in the outfield. He's a really, really good center fielder, but he's hitting .211.
Ouch.
Not good. Yeah, he's going to keep playing every week, every day, because they don't have a lot of depth. And when you're playing defense, at least you're preventing some runs. And so he's going to start every game as far as he can. Bryce Terang's hitting .240. He was really playing well to start the year. He was over .300 for a real good chunk of the year. Like most young guys, he has leveled off a little bit. Like I said, their only bright spot legitimately on offense are their catchers. They have the best hitting catchers in the majors. William Contreras, a guy they picked up in each offseason trades, hitting .276. He's going to get right around .300 all year. And his backup, Victor Caratini, is a switch hitting catcher. He's hitting over .300, which lets Contreras, who's a really, really good hitter and an okay defensive player, play hit in the DH spot, which for a team that's missing tons of players, tons of hitters, it's good to be able to. Yeah, without their backup catcher hitting well, it really would put a dent in what they can do offensively. So that's been...
Is it just a lot of injuries?
It's been a ton
just
of injuries.
Or just a lot of different things that are just not going right.
Well, they're the two... Luis Urias, who's on the 60-day disabled list, he was going to be their starting second baseman. And he had buzzed to be an all-star. He'd been improved a lot last year. He was a good fielder. He can play. So he was missing right off the bat. That moves their a team without a lot of depth in a bad spot, you know, middle infielder. Sure. And then their Garrett Mitchell, who was their rookie last year, he got hurt. He'll miss the year. He was the same thing, playing really good defense, hitting the ball really well in preseason, in spring training. So yeah, when you don't have the depth, and none of the guys were expected to be, you know, they don't have that guy. They don't have that. Oh, Mookie Betts. They don't have the...
Aaron Judge.
They don't have Aaron Judge, right. They don't have that MVP hitter in their lineup like Christian Yelich should be, where when guys are having a bad year, a bad stretch, a bad month, somebody is carrying them.
Right.
At this point, anybody carrying them is, well, they're hitting .240. So they are right around average. Their pitching is really good. They've had guys hurt. Corbin Burns was their ace last year. He was the Cy Young, I believe, last year. He had a tough start to the year, but he's level. He's back to 3-2. Pitched a really good game the other day. Freddy Peralta was hurt a lot last year, but he's their third best pitcher. He's 4-2. He's got 46 strikeouts in 40 innings. He was their young prodigy 5 years ago, and now he's not so young, but he's pitching really well. He's been hurt. So you'd like to see some of these. Wade Miley started out, has pitched really well. He's a free agent that they picked up in the offseason. He got shelled the game that I happened to listen to on the radio, but he's still got an ERA under 4, 3.6, pitched 40 innings. So these pitchers are keeping their ERA low. That they have to.
Yeah.
For this team to be anything this whole year, Devin Williams, who replaced Josh Hader as their closer, pitched 11 innings. He's got a .72 ERA and 5 saves. If they could win some games, you'd see a lot more of this really, really good, consistently good Milwaukee Brewers bullpen. But like I said, they've been consistently losing they've been losing 5 out of 7 for the last couple of weeks. Makes it kind of hard to get anywhere. But like I said, I have no confidence in the Pittsburgh Pirates because I, as a moderate baseball fan, cannot name 2 Pittsburgh Pirates. So I don't think that they keep it up. So the Brewers are still
right there. Relevant
right there. Their big start helped them to, you know, level. They've leveled off, but I expect that, you know, up and down of a baseball season. Eventually, they start improving on some of these numbers. Some of these injuries, they start to get guys back. So you don't have as much quadruple A talent on your major league roster. You have starters like you're supposed to have. So
sure.
You know, I'm still going to stay high on the Brewers for the entirety of the year because
true fan.
Yeah, I've been a fan since forever, and this is still the golden age for anybody. The golden age of Brewers baseball is currently. They are at the tail end of what looks like, but they've had a 5 or 6 year run of being. I looked at the numbers. The third best winning percentage in baseball over the last number of years belongs to the Brewers. They've been really consistently good. They haven't won anything,
But
consistently good. So, yeah, that's the Brewers wrap up. They, like I said, they got a game tonight. I think they're a home game. Let me see. Yes, they are going. Oh, yeah, the Royals. That's right. They're playing the Royals. They got a 3-game series against the Royals.
Sure.
At home.
And Royals aren't very good.
Royals are really bad. 12-27, and then they follow that up. Yeah, because
they're the same AL Central as the Twins.
Yep. And then they follow that up with 3 more winnable games against the Cardinals. So, I mean, really, they could a nice 6-game. They should be the favorite.
If they just keep
6 games in a row. Yeah.
Yeah.
One good outing, one good starting, because they always have good starting pitching. So you assume most of the time when you look at the who's favored in the, you know, if you were a gambler, you would the Brewers have been are favored because they have good starting pitching.
So you're in Wisconsin, you can't gamble on sports.
No, but we're in Iowa, right?
Yeah. I'm sorry,
I'm in my car in Iowa. Totally fine. But if you were into that, the Brewers, when you have good pitching, you should be favored to win.
Sure.
And they're, of course, playing bad teams. So I'd like to see a nice 6-game winning streak so we can get excited about the Brewers again. Because I want to talk about guys.
And then the week after, and then the week
We go up and up. This feels like the Packers thing all over again. We've been on a solid since this show started of just ups and down, up and down, yeah.
Okay.
We are going to talk. We talked a little bit last week, just in a real brief moment. We were talking about the depth. I said the depth chart for the Packers is set.
Well, I mean, yes and no. I mean, it's still, you have a roster. Usually, on average, NFL team has about 90 people on their roster.
Yes.
So, to say it's set, maybe. I mean,
it doesn't feel.
I mean, your starters that you probably had, other than a certain quarterback.
I heard of that. Aaron Rodgers, right?
Yeah, guy like that. You know, other than him, you know, you're probably, all your other starters are going to be there from last year, right?
Well, I mean, last year's offense is going to feature Jordan Love, you know, all of 3 starts. So that's, you know, he's 24. Aaron Jones is the old man on that, on the skill position. He's 28. Probably the last year you're going to see Aaron Jones and maybe a David Bakhtiari
I'm surprised he's still there now.
David Bakhtiari and Aaron Jones have been around. David Bakhtiari, you said, he's the longest tenured Packer and now at 10 years. He's the highest paid player on the roster, and I think it's like $30-some million.
Yeah, he's, for a guy his contract's who's over by
been
next
hurt
year.
A lot.
Yeah.
In the last couple of years, they've tried to draft replacements for him. There's been a lot of chatter because people have played, you know, for him because he's missed 5-6 games a year consistently over the last couple of years. So he's the old man on this entire roster. So your backup is AJ Dillon. Your third running back is a rookie. Your wide receivers, Christian Watson and Romeo Doubs, are second-year guys. Everybody else who's going to see the field, a rookie or undrafted free agent, a practice squad guy. Samari Torre and Jalen Reed are going to be 3. And, you know, it's going to be a really, really developmental year on offense, which makes you start thinking about it. The Packers really could win 5 games next year. They could be pretty bad if they get a couple more injuries on defense, and this is a developmental year for both quarterbacks, wide receivers, offensive line, and tight ends, you could be, you know, they could very easily.
I don't think there's going to be any real expectations for the Packers this year, though. I mean, there is, obviously. Everybody wants them to win, and they expect you to be the Green Bay Packers of the past 31 years.
Because that's the expectation.
The way you, yeah, because that's some of you guys, or that's all you've ever known is winning.
Correct.
But I think this year there's a lot of leeway and latitude, I think, with Jordan Love really his first year of really starting.
So if he, so 8-9, if they finish 8-9, we're going to say.
If you do 8-9, 9-8, the like 500.
Coaches aren't getting fired?
I don't think so.
I feel like if so much gets attached to Jordan Love, if Jordan Love bombs out, don't you feel like you got to replace a general manager?
Not necessarily.
Not necessarily.
The Packers draft is really good this year. I mean, really decent.
Well, that's
they normally run. They do.
But. If they say that and they aren't good, does that mean their draft was bad? Maybe these talent evaluators aren't.
Yeah, but you'll never know if they fire a talent evaluator.
Right. Scouts, no, you're right. You know? They fire a GM.
Yeah. Right. You know? Right.
Yep.
No, I think honestly, LaFleur and Gutekunst and all you guys have got at least 1 year to go. Yeah. Okay. This is what we got. We got to see something.
If Jordan Love looks great, everybody's going to be
great.
And if he looks bad, next year you're going to draft a quarterback, and then that's where your restart starts, right? Yeah. Like, that's when
At that point, LaFleur, I could see kind of, or making changes on the OC.
You could get rid of your Aaron Joneses by the end of the year. You could, Bakhtiari could be gone. You know, like, guys, if you're in a rebuild, you do not need 29-year-old running backs and 34-year-old offensive linemen.
Ask Minnesota.
Yeah, correct. Correct. Yeah, you know, 100%. I mean,
like, we're in that same, it's weird, but we're in that same, I mean,
yeah,
you know, with Kirk Cousins.
Yeah.
He's under contract through next year, technically this year, and that's it. Yeah. So, you know, we also got, you know, Dalvin Cook.
That window, it comes and goes so quick. You wouldn't have known that this was going to, last year would have been the Vikings' big year. You wouldn't have guessed that.
Right.
And to say that this next year might be it for them, you know, same thing on the Packers end.
Yeah.
If you would have guessed the Packers would have been 8-9, that didn't feel accurate going into the year last year. But if you tell me they're going 8-9 this year, I'd say, yeah, that's about right.
Who's your number one wide receiver then?
Well, it's Christian Watson, which is dicey. That feels dicey because he wasn't the catch 12 receptions. He was catch 4 for 3 touchdowns. You know, you'd think your typical number one wide receiver is a guy you can throw it to, like Justin Jefferson, right? Like you can throw it to him 15 times a game. And unless Christian Watson makes that step, right?
And which he did toward the end of the year last year. He was scoring a touchdown in every game in the last, 6 or 7 games?
Oh, he was on he won me a fantasy football league. Yeah, he was fantastic last year.
I mean, oddly enough, I'm looking to the Packers depth chart. They have Jaden Reed there as a third.
Third, yep. That's a slot.
So you got, you know, Christian Watson, Romeo Dubs.
Yep.
Oh my God.
Who looked okay, right? Like Romeo Dobbs looked okay. He got hurt a little bit, but he looked like a good, solid Antonio Freeman of a wide receiver.
Not any worse than Lazard.
Right. Ugh. Alan Lazard, I mean, I'm not a football evaluator, so I can't keep saying Alan Lazard was no good, but he wasn't fast. He didn't put up a lot of numbers, and so he must be a real good teammate to still be on a roster somewhere.
But you got, you know, you guys drafted that Luke Musgrave.
Yeah.
You know, you got Kraft.
You're going to start two tight ends because that DeGara, if he was good, they wouldn't have drafted two tight ends. So they're starting tight end last year.
And you know by...
Tanyan is gone.
He was drafted in 2020 in the third round. Right. So I mean, you know by now on him.
Right. So you're going to start a rookie at least two spots without a doubt. You're going to see... You're going to see backups at all those spots are also all rookies. Your backup quarterback is going to be a rookie. Your backup, got a couple of linemen. Zach Tom, Royce Newman were drafted. Jake Hansen is in his second or third year. Josh Myers was a first-round pick a couple of years.
Your fullback, Henry Pearson?
That's neat. I mean, it's been a while since I've seen a fullback. John Kuhn is the last fullback from the Packers I remember.
Yeah.
John Run, I got a lot of young guys.
But it's all right, though. I mean, young comes with inexperience, but also means you have a lot more energy. You're less likely to have them hurt. I mean, there's trade-offs. You know, ideally, you want a couple of veterans to show these young guys, and you do.
And on offense, if they can stay healthy. And Elgin Jenkins, is apparently one of the best guards in football. He keeps, you know, he gets hurt, but he's one of the best. Josh Myers was a first-round pick. David Bakhtiari, when healthy, has been a Pro Bowler numerous times. So you've got the older guys and the young guys.
And I think really, I mean, I think you'll be all right in the offense. It's that defense that's really got some questions.
And I feel the opposite. Really? I feel like the question marks. I'm looking at this depth chart, and out of the nine wide receivers that I'm looking at, I mean, you're counting on a lot of guys.
Yeah.
Skill position wise, young guys don't normally develop. You know, you're not. I don't think
you're not going to see a Justin Jefferson.
I don't think Christian Watson's going to turn into Sterling Sharp this year. It'd be great to see it, but I doubt it.
But you never know. I mean, that Jaden Reed might.
Is Jalen Reed? Is he Robert Brooks? You know what I mean? Is he Robert Ferguson? You know, which second round pick are we getting out there? And that defense. I was looking at it. That is 1, 2, 3, 4, 7 first round picks amongst their. Right, 1, 2, yeah, 7. You've got 3 first-round picks on the defensive line.
Picked a lot up off the undrafted.
Van Ness and Kenny Clark and Devontae Wyatt are 3 first-rounders on your defensive line. I like that.
Yeah.
2 linebackers were first-round picks with Quay Walker and Rashawn Gary. And their secondary has 3 first-round picks in it. Eric Stokes, Jaire Alexander, who's one of the best in football, and Darnell Savage, who's been one of the least popular Packers over the last couple of years, but he was a first-round pick. That's a ton of talent.
Did Mason Crosby retire?
He is unsigned currently. Yeah, when you're looking at the same star, he's not even on there.
Yeah, he's not on the roster.
That's another one, right? Like a rookie kicker seems dicey all the time. Ask the Vikings.
Yeah.
Ask nearly every team that has dealt, you know, like that's a hard thing to look at. But like I said, I like that defense. I like that defense on paper. A lot more than I like this offense on paper. I could see their defense. For me, the defense could be a top, you know, 10, top 5 defense. If these are healthy players.
Sure.
You know, DeAndre Campbell had a good year. Quay Walker's a first rounder. Rashawn Gary's extremely athletic. When healthy, they should be. But I really do think you're gonna find, 8-9 does feel like that ceiling all of a sudden. I think they're the only team in that division that has a ceiling of 8-9. I think the rest of that. I think the Bears could. You could tell me the Bears could win 10 games, and I could buy that. You could tell me the Lions could win 10 games. You could tell me the Vikings could win the same.
13 games.
Mm. Yeah, I could see that, but I could not. I cannot see this Packers team doing more than 8-9. And I'd like to be wrong because you know.
No, I want you to be right. It's okay.
Yeah, do you know? So you can get one more, drag out one more nice.
I just want you Packer fans to realize what everybody else has been dealing with for the last 31 years.
The other franchises in the league have had a gap in there somewhere.
No, watch. He's like great.
I mean, wouldn't it be neat to see if him turns into let's say he's Patrick Mahomes. Like, remember when Alex Smith was playing for the Chiefs, and Alex Smith was a former first round pick, and they said. We've got this guy, Patrick Mahomes. And nobody thought Patrick Mahomes until these first couple of games, and then they realized, oh, yeah, never mind.
Right. It's always those guys you kind of go, that's always a mid-round. It's that mid-round.
Right.
Not a lot of first-round picks, unless you're Andrew Luck, of course.
Right.
You know, but, yeah, I don't know.
I know it's very, very early to talk Packer, but the mini-camp, you know, the rookie mini-camp was just this week. So, we started talking about depth chart, and I realized, Packers have one of the youngest offenses in the league, so get comfortable as a hearing the phrase developmental year, which
I'm also used to it.
As a Packer fan, I've never heard that phrase. Even in Aaron Rodgers' first year as a starter, that team was stacked up around him, ready to go. Same thing Favre, you know, pretty much right off the gate, they gave Favre the ball and they started winning games. So it helps that that's kind of it. You're not a developmental team if your quarterback is good. Because if your quarterback is good, you're going to win 10 to 12 games, and you can't develop.
Right.
You can't bottom out if you've got a good quarterback. So,
okay.
I said that will be.
We can talk about Vikings next week.
We can, if you'd like.
We got plenty of offseason.
Oh yeah, we've got many, many, many weeks. Between now and now, I don't think there's any more NFL related things until you hit NFL. Preseason and preseason.
Well, the biggest thing is going to be after June 1st. Then there's the cuts.
More cuts. Yeah.
So that's when Like on my team, like the Vikings, we got the biggest one is
Dalvin Cook still.
We'll see what happens after June 1st. So,
and I'd like to see because if I was looking at it, the Packers, even if they're cutting some of the expensive people from there, I still don't think they have the money to replace said guys. So It's kind of a, like I said, it'll be, we're going to go weeks and weeks and months without talking about the Packers here.
Want to quick hit the NBA playoffs quick because we're already at 25 minutes.
Are we really?
Yes.
Hammer again. We just say the word NFL and we just absolutely fly through this. Yeah, I like that.
So you got it's literally right about the 25 minute mark already.
Okay, well, I was gonna talk about something that both of us happened to be watching on TV,
which is NBA playoffs.
NBA playoffs.
Yeah,
NBA playoffs looked really, really good.
They're good. I mean, you've got some big name. I mean, like I'm really following the 76ers right now with Joel Embiid.
Yeah.
And you know Harden in there, because you know the last 2 years Harden hasn't been anything, and all of a sudden he just. Out of nowhere, here's Harden. It's the Harden of old.
You know, it's interesting because as an NBA fan, it doesn't come out of nowhere, but it's been a couple of years. Yeah. He's Kevin Durant's age. You know, he's 36 and change, where his prime was a couple of years ago, too. But, yeah, no, that Sixers team, Joel Embiid is really fun to watch as a 7-foot guy with some ball skills and shoots and plays defense.
He's been on that NBA MVP
short-lived.
For the last 3 years, I believe.
He's been a hurt dinged up, missed some games. The game I've been watching this Lakers and Warriors.
Oh yeah, I think because whoever wins that series, I think will be the.
It's wild to think that the Lakers, about a month left in the season, the Lakers were doubtful on making the playoffs.
And they made all the trades.
They made tons of trades, and they've become the best defensive team in the league, which isn't exciting to watch. But man, LeBron James is just a beast.
I mean, AD, too, has
Anthony
been...
Anthony Davis has been incredible.
He's like every other game, he's incredible, which is him.
And then he's hurt, and then he's incredible. And Steph Curry, we're looking at... Steph Curry and LeBron James have both won 4 NBA titles.
Yes.
You wouldn't know that Steph Curry is the second best player in the NBA based on LeBron gets
all the love.
You would think that the second best guy was so far below LeBron James, but...
And in my eyes, Steph Curry, that whole Golden State guys, all that whole crew... Yeah. I think really changed
basketball
a lot of ways.
100%.
I mean, you know, Steph Curry. I mean, I don't think he's anybody's better of a shooter ever.
Ever, unarguable.
You know,
he's the best ever.
A lot of the discussion on just to make whatever make headlines.
Sure.
Was like the Mount Rushmore. Who's on NBA Mount Rushmore? Mm-hmm. You know, obviously Jordan. Then you have everybody else.
Yeah, Jordan, Bill Russell.
You know, they were saying if. Steph wins another, Steph wins, and LeBron doesn't.
Does he kick LeBron out of the... I cannot, in my life, there has never been a more hyped person, I wouldn't even say athlete, person than LeBron James. From the time he was 16 years old, he's going on, he's 38. He's gone, 20 years of being the best player, and just little by little, Steph Curry has caught him little by little, just keeps winning, keeps plugging away, and he's fun to watch.
Yeah.
And Steph Curry is just, you watch him through the game, he's just bouncing around.
Yeah, yeah. And he's just an incredible shooter.
Taking shots from 35 feet. He's one of those players, changes the game because you have to guard him from half court. People have to guard him. There's no space on the court where he can't shoot from. And so it's pretty, if you get a chance to look up the numbers, that has been a really, really exciting.
Yeah, and I'm actually going to watch it as much as I can. But it's the only time, like I said before, NBA, that's the only time I watch is playoffs.
And that's really, I love.
When everybody steps up their game.
I love sports, but it's a better product, just like the NCAA tournament is. Do we have any time?
Nope.
Can we say song? Can we end with a song? We're not doing none of it.
No. We're done again.
Wow. We're gonna have to stretch this out into an hour. We're just gonna keep going. We're gonna kick next week. Gonna be the thing. This has been a really good show. Thank you everybody for listening. We're on Spotify. We're on WDRT 9:30 Fridays, of course. Anytime you catch us afterwards. Thanks for everything.